Start now.
Good morning and welcome to Shakedown Shan, and now the host of the show, Shannon Murphy.
Hey guys, welcome back. We planned on meeting yesterday and then my plans got all screwy, but ended up being a good day in the end. Did you do anything yesterday? Anything fun?
No. Stayed home pretty much. I'm on vacation now and school started, so I kind of like chilled over the weekend.
Yeah. We went to a museum on Saturday, and then yesterday we were supposed to be home all day, and then we had to leave for a quick road trip, and then we ended up not going, like, halfway when we were ready to go. We ended up not going, and then we were like, oh, well, what do we do now? We're, like, ready with nowhere to go. So we went to Adirondack Brewery for dinner because Instagram had a bunch of, like, nice pictures of their food, so.
Yeah.
How was it,
all right?
It was good.
Yeah. How much snow do you have up there? We're supposed to get a big storm tonight and tomorrow.
I don't think it's snowing here yet.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Well.
But I've got nowhere to go today, so.
Yeah, that's good. Neither do I, so. What's been going on? A lot's been going on. In the world of the United States. Why don't you start us off with one of your topics?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, I mean, as predicted, you know, right-wing companies are starting to give some pushback on their customer base and picking and choosing who they want to do business with. There's a gun shop in Michigan, ammunition shop, who is refusing to sell to any customers who voted for Biden this past election. Their customers have to check off a box of who they voted for, and they already said they don't care if they lose business. They don't want to sell to Biden because of his strict gun reform policies that he ran on. He goes, these policies are going to put us out of business. He plans to ban the sale of ammunition online. And as a pro to a company, they don't want to support that. So they want their customers to know that this is a serious issue to them. And I mean, it's a private company, so I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, they can do what they want. I mean, certainly the left-wing companies have banned conservative voices, but I think I wish he was still there. Biden has said that he's going to implement some laws on guns as far as gun restrictions and new gun policies. He's going to enforce them. You know, in actuality, I don't think he's the one that's making up these rules. I think people are making them up for him.
Definitely. You
know, I don't think he can remember to do this stuff. You know, I mean, he's lost more jobs in the first month he's been in office, closing the pipeline down and now trying to close the Dakota pipeline down and cutting off oil leases. I mean, we're going to be so energy dependent from now on that our prices are going to go sky high, and we can see that now with the price of gasoline.
Right, and he put a tweet out on Twitter the other day about the anniversary for the Parkland school shooting.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's like a prelude that there's going to be some gun control talk coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely interesting. You're starting to see people actually do something about this. And the reason magazine article that I read, an interesting point that they made though, was a lot of these conservatives that are, you know, proud of this company for doing this are also complaining about tech censorship.
Right.
And of conservative voices, and how they won't say private company can do whatever they want when it comes to like Facebook and Twitter and that. But I disagree with the take that Reason took on this, because like we've said before, these big tech companies aren't solely private companies. They're being pushed around by government and special interest groups to do what the government wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the company just deciding, you know, we're going to silence these people. It's they're being pressured and told what to do, and they're going to have, you know, more regulations put on them. They're going to have less tax breaks if they don't do these things. So they're like being bribed to do that. And I don't think that's purely a market decision.
No, it isn't. And we saw that in the last election. I mean, I think they gave so much money to one side for helping them out. And of course, those politicians will take care of them too. I think any business, like you said, any business would want to help, especially in that industry. You want diverse opinions because that's what makes, you know, good discussion. You just can't have one-sided discussions. And I haven't heard too many on the left side being canceled by Twitter and Facebook. So
right.
I think the best way, and I've said this, the best way to hurt these companies is to boycott the advertisers on them. And by doing that, then they lose income. And that's, I think that's when you start to let them know that, you know, we're not going to take it.
Yeah, I think the only one I've seen on like the left spectrum that's been kind of censored and pushed around a little bit is Jimmy Dore. He is probably one of the better lefties.
Okay.
He criticizes all the right people. And he criticizes, I'd say, about 85% of the time, the root cause. But then his solutions to them sometimes aren't exactly what's going to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But he does attack the people that the left tries to protect.
Okay.
So he gets a lot of flack on social media for that when he goes after Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Bernie Sanders and all that crowd. He's also very anti-war, and he gets a lot of flack for that too as well. So I honestly think it's not even that they're going to just attack one side. It's going to be just become attack anyone against what the establishment is there for.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Bringing in for a minute off of war a little bit, you had mentioned that Biden is cutting aid to Yemen.
Kind of.
Okay.
So the headlines will all tell you that he is, you know, he's not going to support the war in Yemen anymore. He has come out and said that he doesn't want to support the war in Yemen, which is good. I like that take, but it's not completely what it sounds like. So he is going to stop our offensive take over there in helping the Saudis, but we're still going to be there for defense. So take that as it sounds. But we're not pulling out of Yemen, and being there for defense and having a presence there still perpetuates that civil war.
Oh, sure.
And it's naive to think that just because we're going to switch to a defensive mode rather than offensive mode, it would be naive to think that that would mean we're not supporting them.
Right.
We're still showing support. We're still going to be giving them money and weapons. You know that.
Oh, sure we are.
Talk big talk, switch a few of the words up and change the language around it, and people will be happy because they think it's starting to end. And then you look like a good guy.
Yeah, you do. I'll talk. You know,
I'm gonna
one of
grab
the
the baby
things.
quick.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. We're gonna take a little break here and talk about some subjects that we're gonna talk about when Shan comes back about school openings and how they are going under this new administration. But one of the things, Shan, and hello there. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about on war, civil war, is here in the United States, the president has decided that he's going to leave the fencing with the razor wire up around the Capitol building with the 7,000 troops that are still there until the end of the year, which is going to, they had figured a cost until the middle of March of $500 million. So they're thinking it's going to be close to $500 or $700 billion to the end of the year. So they asked him why he's doing that. And of course, he just can't answer. And they asked his press secretary, and she goes, I've never heard her answer a direct question. She goes around the bush. And so no, we don't know why they're leaving it, and we'll see what happens.
They've already started pitting the people against each other, and you know, you just keep doing that over time. And I don't know if they're afraid of us coming after them. I think they're more afraid of us coming after each other.
Yeah.
And just protecting themselves from that.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they want. They want, I mean, the most powerful governments in history have always divided the people, kept them quarreling, and kept them distracted.
Well, that's why years ago, Russia had said that we don't have to worry about fighting America to take it over, that we would divide ourselves and become weak. And it's kind of true. Now we can see it more than 10, 15, 20 years ago. There's a huge divide, and I don't know if, you know, how to close it up. And it's going to be something, I'll tell you.
We need a third party. Yeah, and we're going to destroy ourselves, definitely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know if it'll come to a full-out civil war, or like, you know, a traditional war. It might be more of a battle of economies. I heard a really interesting take the other day. I think it was on Pete Kononis's podcast, Free Man Beyond the Wall. Mm-hmm. I think it was that show. That there might be parallel economies starting to rise, and that's what we're seeing with like this gun shop. Yeah. Not selling to Biden voters, and then big tech censoring right wing and conservatives or anyone that goes against the narrative. You know, you're going to get these companies that start coming or sprouting up that are only going to sell to a certain type of people, and you're going to have more than one economy, basically, eventually.
Right.
People are going to start buying not based on product, but based on like what they stand for, what the company stands for.
Yeah, well, you're right. I don't think it'll be a civil war because it's very hard. I mean, at least the civil war had a north and south, so you had distinct territories that fought against each other. Here, your next door neighbor could be politically against you, so you can't go over and shoot them. So I think there will be an alternative, and economics, I think, is the force that drives the country. And I can see more of what you said happening than I can a traditional war.
Yeah, and it may have also been Tim Pool's podcast. It was one of those two.
Tim Pool.
But a few people have been talking about it.
You know, next time I want to get some information for you on this party that started up. It's an organization on what it's going to take America to get back to where we were. And it's a lot in a belief system that we used to believe in that is totally out the window now. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to become a third party. They have a lot of people behind them so far, and it really does make a lot of sense. And it does make a lot of sense. So I'll have some information on that so we can talk about that.
That'd be interesting to talk about another party.
Yeah, it would be. And you can't see any way out of this, what's going on today. But they give you some steps that we can take. And everybody has to be on board, though. You know, you can't have, you can have small fringe groups, but really you have to buy into what they're talking about if you want to get back to some normalcy and have discourse and political back and forth, but in a healthy way.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'll have that for you. And how's everyone doing in school? Noah, is it doing well?
Yeah, Noah is, I think, 150 days in already.
Okay.
And he only needs 180.
Wow.
So we're almost done, but we do plan to take, like, a long spring break, maybe, uh-huh, like 2 weeks. So that'll push it out a little bit. And I don't know. I think we should be done by May for the school year.
Okay. Now, just to remind everybody, Noah is going to school, homeschool, correct?
Yep.
And, he's doing well and gets his, it's amazing how good children can do. And, I heard a story the other day on the news that, because schools aren't reopening, which we can talk about next, that there are so many more parents sending their kids to parochial, private, or different types of schools rather than public.
Yes. Yep. And I actually just listened to another podcast. Do a lot of that. And there was a homeschool, some lady that studies schooling, and she's a homeschool expert and stuff like that. And she said, I believe the quote is, there are 3 million new homeschooling, like traditionally homeschooling families, not remote public school or anything,
right,
but homeschooling families. I think that 3 million new this year.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is, and that's good, to be completely honest, because, I mean, the future of public school doesn't look like it's going to go back to normal for quite a while, if it does at all.
Yeah, I know. It's teachers' unions are driving the schools districts into not reopening, and they're having huge issues with the big city school unions, and they backed the president and in this last campaign, and he's just letting it go by. He's not putting any pressure on reopening.
No. I don't know if you just saw Noah crawling in the background back there, but he's still in pajamas. I gave him the day off today because all of his friends have it off.
Sure.
So he's playing on Xbox.
This is a family. This is a family podcast, so.
So, he's running around here in his pajamas.
That's okay. So what do you have, in school, what do you think of schools? I know you said you didn't think they were going to reopen for quite a while.
No. So the CDC put out new guidelines that they should maintain strict mask wearing, social distancing, and all the other stuff they have to follow right now through the next school year. even though, you know, the school children aren't really shown to be huge spreaders. And other countries have actually reopened their schools with less strict regulations, and they have had success. So these regulations of like maintaining 6 foot distance and everything like that makes it hard for a lot of these schools to have all of their students in person. So the hybrid model that most schools have adapted is expected to continue next year. And say what you want about public schools, about not liking them. I know I talk about it a lot, about how it's, you know, indoctrination centers or whatever. But these kids that are there and these families that use public school, a lot of them have to, because they don't know how to get out of it.
Right.
Or they're not in a position where they can. They have to work, and that is free daycare, because that is the system that our government has set up, and that we need to figure out a way to get away from. We need to get alternatives to that.
Right.
And some people think they have to use it, and then other people like it. So whatever your excuse is for, you know, being in public school, there are kids that aren't doing well at home because they're so used to being there.
Right.
And it's detrimental to them. And I mean, we've seen the suicide rate go up.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge thing no one's really talking about.
Drug use.
There's a lot of, you know, there's children that are abused at home.
That's right, because their parents are staying home more, and they want to get out, and, you know, they start having mental issues. So it's hard. And we kind of lost the... And this might be the end of the show. So if it is, then I want to thank everybody for being with us this morning.